like to have a copy of God's Word once again offered to you here in Stafford quite freely. Yours simply for the taking. It's an extract, if you like, from the Bible, the New Testament, in its entirety, and it's beautifully presented and precious, the Word of God that's able to save, deliver your soul from the darkness of sin, and of course the consequences, the death and the hell that follow. Word of God offered to you, as I say, no cost, no obligation to you, just simply yours for taking. Light one come and ask for one. Of course, reason why we need salvation and why the Bible speaks about salvation and only salvation, that's the thrust of it. Because you see, we're all sinners, don't you know? You know that sin has come into the world through our first father, Adam, his name was. And it was passed on to the posterity, you know, the rest of the human race, that is. So what is sin? You might say, well, it's a want of any conformity to the will of God. It's a transgression of the will of God, the law of God, that is, which, of course, God's law, that is a reasonable rule for his creatures, you know. Perfectly reasonable. I mean, God is God, he's the creator. You and I, we're just the creatures. So I mean that God should present us with, require of us, that we keep his rules. I mean, what could be unreasonable about that? Huh? You know, but of course, that's what it is, you know. Sin, men and women, they rebel against God's holy law. And that sin, of course, well, it isn't just, you know, the want of conformity, the transgression, that is, of God's law. It goes deeper than that. It's in our bones, you know. It's the very fabric of our beings, the warp and woof, as it were, of our entire beings. Sin, I mean, you know. It's in you're hardwired for sin, you know. It's in your DNA. Because he has passed on from one generation to another. Sin, you see, is passed on by natural generation, so that God can see that we and our children, all of us, that is, we are conceived and we're born in sin. So that's why you need the Bible. That's why I offer the Bible to you. As one of our historical confessions says, we receive all these books. See, the Bible's more than just one book. It's 66 books all in one. And we receive these books, and only these books, because all the others, Shakespeare, Darwin, and whatever other author, UK or Maccabee, or any of the others, you know, we do not receive them. Only these books do we receive as the Holy Word of God. And it's the Holy Word of God. Why? Because it comes from a holy God. A God who is perfect to the utmost. And so, unsurprisingly, his word of testimony, the Bible, that is, all 66 books of it, all these books and these alone, they are the holy, perfect, that is, word of God that come from a perfect God. So you see, these are the regulation, and these only are the regulation, the foundation, and the confirmation of our faith, as our confession goes on to say. That's the Bible, you see. That's what it means to be a Christian, you see. You're regulated. If you're a Christian, you don't any longer, that is, if you've been born again, saved from your sin, received forgiveness at the hand of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, well, you're no longer a person who just simply does their own thing, you know. out of a grateful, a gratitude for what God has done, well, your life from that point on becomes regulated, you know? Unlike, you know, the most of people in Stafford today, I have to say, unregulated. Well, I don't feel like, you know? I don't feel like, I don't think, you know? I have another opinion, you know? Everybody runs on their own opinions, their own feelings, their own emotions. They just do as they please. Most folks, at least, anyway. Unregulated lives, you see? But the Christian man or woman, the person who has been born again, the person who has been forgiven of God, is a person who is regulated by the Word of God. By the Word of God, and the Word of God only. Not the church, not the church, not some pope, not some cult leader, but the Bible. The Bible, the Word of God alone, is what regulates the lives of a Christian. It's our only regulation. And of course, well, the Bible tells us, you see, it regulates our thinking. What we think about the world, the universe, how it came into being. It didn't evolve. Charlie Darwin got it wrong. It didn't. Friends, it was created by God, by the Word of God. He spoke it into being in 6 literal days, 24-hour periods. God made the heaven and the earth and everything therein. You see, the Bible regulates our thinking. Our thinking, you see, becomes aligned to God's thinking. You see, regulated by the Word of God, the Bible, that tells us exactly how the universe, the world, and everything in it came into being. The Word of God. This is our regulation, you see. It regulates our thinking with regards to how we live in God's world, God's institution of marriage, you know, contrary to the modern day thinking, the abominable things and shameful things that people are dreaming up and doing. You know, it's just that's the unregulated life of a sinner, a wayward sinner, you know, on the pathway, you know, of darkness and on the way to a lost eternity. That's what happens, you see, when you're not regulated by the Word of God. But this is our regulation. This is what regulates our faith. I don't believe in Santa Claus. Why? Because Santa Claus is not in the Bible. See, he doesn't exist. But I believe in God because, well, he reveals himself in his Word, the Bible. This is the revelation of God, you see, what he's like. You see, how can we know what God is like when he's invisible, when he's a spiritual being? Well, because he has chosen to reveal himself in his Word, the Bible, you see. So this regulates my thinking, you know. My thinking as to what God is like. He's not the God of the heathen. He's not the God of Roman Catholicism. He's not the God of Islam. He's not the God of Buddhism. He's not the multitude of gods of pantheism. He is the living and true God who created heaven and earth, everything in it. And in his Word, the Bible, that regulates our faith, he has revealed himself here. I can tell you what he's like because he has revealed himself. And of course, well, the Bible too, you see, the Word of God is a revelation that reveals what we are like, you are like. Now you might think to yourself, well, I'm a good person. I'm perfectly respectable. Nothing wrong with me. Well, the Bible tells you differently. The Bible tells you what you're truly like. A knowledge of yourself and a knowledge of yourself is a prerequisite to knowing God. You see, until you know yourself what you are truly like, and what you are truly like is sin. I am sin altogether, Stafford, after me, say it all together. I am, come on young people, say it. I am sin. I am sin, say it. That's what you are. Every one of us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. None that doeth good, says God. So you see, it's when you know yourself, what you're really, truly like, as God has revealed in His Word, the Bible. But you see, this is what regulates. This is what regulates the Christian's faith, you see. They don't just believe as they want to believe. Oh, you might find some people who would profess to be Christian who would tell you otherwise. Oh, I know, churches are full of them. But that's not Christianity, you know. In its essence, that's not Bible-believing Christianity. No, the Christian is regulated by the Word of God. His faith is regulated by the Word of God. He believes the things that God has written down, caused to be written down in His Word, the Bible. You can't be saved without the Bible, without the Word of God, and without the preaching of God's Word, dare I say. So regulated, you see, what we think about marriage, contrary to the world, contrary to your modern day society, it regulates our thinking. You see, that's why you're so opposed to us, because we won't go your sodomite and lesbian route. We can't go that way because God says that's not acceptable to Him. That's contrary to God's revealed Word, His will, that regulates our faith. You see, the Bible tells us about God's institution of marriage between one man and one woman for life. And that, of course, without divorce and no remarriage after divorce. All that you see is sin. That's the sin of your society, of your world, and of your wicked hearts, unregulated hearts. But not for the Christian, not for the one who believes unto salvation, that is. They are people who are regulated by the Word of God. It is our foundation. It's the foundation. And of course, it's the sure foundation. But of course, isn't this the problem with your modern day society today in the Western world? That so many men and women, the multitudes of them, have no foundation. If they do at all, it's a very, very shaky one. But this is a sure foundation because it's the Word of God, you see. It's a rock-like foundation. It doesn't move, it doesn't shift. You can't have modern-day society for your foundation. Why? Because it's like shifting sand. It's like sinking sand. It's never the same from one day to the next. They're changing the parameters every single day. More than once a day at times. You don't know where you stand in your modern day society. No foundation for building any person's life, and certainly no foundation for eternity, for that time when you breathe your last, when you die and go out of this world. But here you see in the Word of God, in these books, the 66 books of the Bible, you have a sure foundation. A foundation for faith, that is, for belief. A word, you see, that never changes. It is like God Himself who says, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. His Word is like He is, unchanging. Now the dictates of all your different world religions, they change like the shifting sands too. Very, very little. No, I tell you, no foundation there for anyone's life, and certainly not for the future to bank, as it were, your soul upon. So you see, the regulation, the foundation, and the confirmation of our faith, you see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Bible says. text of the Bible you see that confirms a man's faith, that is, when God gives it, because, well, faith is the gift of God. Not all men have faith. Bible acknowledges that. Some people, of course, will never believe, you know, but those given by God, you see, as many as God has ordained to eternal life, they're the ones who will believe. And their faith, you see, God-given faith is confirmed by the Word of God. They read it, you see, and they understand, this is from God, this is the Word of my Creator, this is the Word of my Savior. And in reading, studying, meditating upon the Word of God, they are confirmed, they are assured in their faith, you see, they're strengthened, and they stand upon the one sure foundation, the rock of God's Word, what God has spoken. Fully and finally and unchangingly. So you see, believing without any doubts, all things contained in them, in these 66 books of the Bible. All things contained in these books we believe. Yes, the creation account in 6 days. What God says about holy matrimony. What God says about sin. What God says about marriage. What God says about rearing children. What God says that a man, a woman, is required to believe for salvation. What God says concerning His Son Jesus Christ, sent into the world to live and die and to rise again from the dead in order that they might have eternal life. Believing all things, that is, what God has spoken here in His Word, believing them without any doubts whatsoever. A person might not understand it all, might not grasp it all, might not have understood it all, but we believe from back to front, Genesis to Revelation, beginning to end, we believe without any doubts all things contained in them, in the Bible, that is. So if you do not have, you see, the Bible for your regulation, for your foundation, for your confirmation, if you have doubts about the Bible, then it's questionable whether you truly believe. If you still got arguments, quarrels, that is, with what the Bible reveals and speaks, well then you're not a Christian. You see, to be a Christian is to have the Bible for your regulation, for your foundation, for your confirmation, and you believe everything in it from start to finish, beginning to end, because all of it from beginning to end is the Word of God. Not so much because the church... The Bible doesn't come from the church, and the church does not regulate the Bible. Oh, it does with the Roman Catholic Church, with the papish, popish hierarchy, but that's not us. We be Protestants, and the Protestant religion, that is the Bible's religion, that is the religion that God has appointed, and of course revealed in His Word. Has God's Word for its authority, not the church, not so much because the church receives and approves of them as such. No, the authority for God's Word and the authority for God's Word regulating someone's life, being the foundation for someone's life, the confirmation of someone's faith, is not because the church receives or approves of the book, of the Word of God as such, but for another reason, because the Holy Ghost, because God the Holy Spirit, witnesses, testifies in the hearts of those who believe that they are from God. You see? Without the witness of the Spirit of God, well, that means that you've not been born of the Spirit of God, you see? a man and woman, Jesus says, must be born again, you see. But except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive, understand, he does not have the witness of the Spirit within them. But you see, by the grace of God, men and women are made alive. They're made to hear. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus says. That's a miracle. That's one of the greatest miracles in all of Christendom. The men and women hear the voice of the shepherd, hear the voice of Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. Why? Because they have the grace of God in them. Because they have the testimony, the witness of the Spirit in them. Because they've been born again of the Spirit of God. And they have the testimony in them, you see, that these things are from God. But without that testimony, well, you have no regulation for your life. You have no foundation. You have no confirmation of faith. All you have is your own intellect. All you have is just simply the testimony, perhaps maybe of others. But you need the testimony of God's Spirit within you, because He testifies to the believers that this is indeed the Word of God. It's from God. And so, you see, the book, the Bible, you see itself authenticating. It carries the evidence in itself, our confession says. The Bible authenticates, it proves itself over and over again. But of course, unless you've been born again, unless you see the Bible is your foundation, is your regulation, your regulating principle in life, unless the Bible is the Word of God to you, unless you're free from all the doubts concerning the Word of God, well, not only do you not have a foundation, but you don't have that witness. You don't have the witness of God's Spirit in you. And you don't have the evidence. You're not able to understand. You know, it's a closed book to you. You see, without God's Spirit, you see, without His testimony, it's Him, you see, that brings the hearts of men and women alive, you see, and makes the Word of God alive to them too. Hey, do you, sir? You a believer, sir? No? Can I ask why? May I respectfully ask why? Sorry? Nah. Yeah, no, that's not. It's not because I could give you evidence, but you still wouldn't believe. Well, I mean, what was it you want? I mean, here's the thing. I mean, think about the origins, you know, of everything. I mean, can you guess? I mean, even the Daft Dawkins acknowledges. To get something out of nothing, he says, is a piece of nonsense. I mean, he's refuting his own arguments. We do. We have the Word of God. Because we have the Word of God. God says so. That's enough.
That's a book that was written a long time ago.
Yeah. So, old does it?
Old. Lots of other books that were written a long time ago.
Yeah, but they're not the Word of God. That says,
well, I can point to lots of books that say they are.
Like
the Hindu scriptures?
No.
Why not?
Because they believe in what's
like the Jewish.
They believe in the salvation of the Jews. Yeah. Old and New Testament, both. Yeah, both.
It's the foundation.
That's right, yeah, both.
Who got it right? The Jews or the Christians or the Muslims?
God, no, God's people from the beginning.
All the same, Abraham.
No, from Adam, our first parent, he was the first one to believe the gospel and be saved. And from then on, men and women have been believing God's word. Some of the Jews, not all of the Jews, were saved. Christians in the New Testament, even right down to today. God has His people.
How do you know after you die you'll meet God? There's no one who's been there.
Jesus has, and Jesus came back, and Jesus tells us, that's what he tells us.
Nobody in the Bible actually met Jesus. Nobody claims to have met Jesus.
Didn't they? You not read the New Testament?
I've gone through most of it.
Right.
And the earliest accounts were written at least 70 years after he died. And it's widely acknowledged that lots of the Gospels aren't written by Matthew, Mark, Luke or John. Even by people who...
I disagree with that.
People who are believers in the Bible as a profession, and who are ardent believers, acknowledge that.
So any man or woman who acknowledges that is not a Christian.
So is there no true Christian?
Yes. Those who believe this book and everything contained in it without any doubt, everything. From beginning to end. Yes. 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 But wait a minute. No.
I can't talk with somebody who can do it.
Okay, well that's your prerogative. But what do you mean by slavery?
Indentured servitude.
No. What do you mean by? Tell me what you mean by slavery.
Well, all I know is in the Bible it says slaves obey your master.
Yeah. Well, listen. Let me.
Jesus was the one who said it.
Can I? No, it wasn't. Give me leave to explain. Yeah. Slavery. In the Bible. Yeah. Was in the Old Testament, it was like, if I could put it in modern day terms, it was akin to employment, a contract of employment, right? It wasn't. Now wait a minute. Let me finish. Right? It wasn't like the slavery that we have read and heard about in America. Yeah. That slavery was caused by their own people, who in Africa, in the deep recesses of Africa, took their own people prisoner, brought them to the coast, sold their own people to the white slave traders, who brought them to Britain, to Germany, all different parts of Europe, and to America, to Brazil, to Haiti, all kinds of places, thousands. Millions of men and women taken captive by their own people.
Their own people.
That's where it started.
Why did they do that?
Yeah. Same as your society today. Greed. Yeah?
So that's not
what slavery. That's not what the slavery in the Bible is spoken about. There were millions and millions of people in the Roman Empire who were slaves. Are you going to let me finish?
Who you cannot enslave.
If I can.
And if you can put a golden earring in your slave's ear and convince him to take a wife, he then remains your property.
That's not in the Bible.
For life.
Which version of the Bible are you reading? There's only one.
Which version?
Only one.
So the King James one.
Yeah. Only one.
Well, if it isn't in there, then I would be a liar.
Yeah. Yeah. What? No, you're mistaken. People make mistakes. No.
You're not willing to open your eyes.
No, it's not there. I know it isn't. I know the Bible.
If you're not willing to let me show you.
No. So, you want a Bible? Go and get a Bible and show me.
You're not willing to let me see.
You're not prepared to
spread the word.
Nobody touches my Bible, but me. Anyway, I can't explain to you what I may explain, so I'm just going to carry on. Would you let me explain what the slavery was? In the Bible, in the Roman Empire, in the Roman. Are you? Can I explain? Are you interested? Are you interested? Well, stop interrupting me then. Yeah.
I'm just trying to get a word in edgeways.
You're doing most of the talking, sir. Yeah. Right. So, in the Roman Empire, there was millions. millions of people who are in slavery. Yeah. If God's people, number one, if God's people had, if the New Testament apostles had raised Cain about the slavery, then a lot of people would have suffered. The Roman emperor and his all his host, yeah, were absolutely brutal. They would have crushed any rebellion whatsoever with the sword. Yeah. So that was definitely not on the agenda. But there are some people today who would, I think even in our society, to use your word, who would benefit greatly from some form of slavery, you know? I mean by that, I don't mean brutally treated. I mean that if they were owned by somebody, or maybe a company, they could be trained, and they could be, from them, useless creatures that they are, yeah, who live off my taxes, could be instructed, could be taught to be useful servants, and then set free in order to live a proper life in society.
You see, when I say you could argue that people already are,
nah.
Slaves to sin.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. We're all of us
exactly.
Born slaves to sin.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's why you need the Bible's message. That's why you need Jesus Christ. Because you're a sinner, and you need saving. And as long as you're arguing with God's word, then well, what? There's not much hope for you, is there? Born sin. Sin. No, not told to be well. You're told to repent and believe the gospel.
Why does God make people? He's a perfect being.
Yes.
Why would God make people?
He made them perfect.
He made them perfect.
Yeah.
And then
they chose to sin. They chose to. You got it, rebelled. And that's what you are. That's what you are. You're a rebel. And God sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to die for rebels, like you and like me. So that you could be forgiven. So that you could be rectified. No longer a slave, but set free.
He made people perfect.
Uh-huh.
Well, they were perfect, and they chose to rebel.
Yes.
Wasn't that in the plan?
Yes. Yes.
So, why would he do that?
For his glory.
For his glory.
Because he's God and you're not.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it was all in the plan. So why make them perfect in the first place?
Pardon?
Why make them perfect in the first place?
Because that's what God did.
And then he changed his mind.
No. They
so
chose.
It must have been in
they
the
willfully,
plan.
Just the same as you do.
It must have
they
been
willfully.
In the plan.
They willfully went against God's holy will.
But his plan was perfect.
Yes, that's right.
So how could they go against his will if it was in his plan already?
What do you mean? I don't understand your argument.
Now, if it was already in his plan for man to rebel,
yes,
then they had no choice.
Everything from beginning to end, yeah? Everything. Even when a sparrow falls to the ground, yeah? That was decreed. See them pigeons on the floor there? Yeah? One of them falls and breaks its neck. Yeah? That was decreed by God from before the foundation of the world. A hair falls from your head this afternoon. It was because God decreed it from before the foundation of the world. He decreed everything. Yeah?
But how did you know that?
Pardon?
How did you know that?
Word of God.
That's in the Bible.
Yes. Yes.
That pigeon or
no, 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 no. When a sparrow,
so
Jesus. When a sparrow, he doesn't say pigeon. He says sparrow. When a sparrow falls to the ground, it does so by the will of God.
So you're interpreting.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. That's what it means. I'm giving you the meaning.
What if somebody else reads it and interprets it differently?
No, they're wrong.
So only you're right.
No, the Bible's right. It's only one interpretation. Many applications, one interpretation.
Sure.
Sure, absolutely.
How many strains of Christianity?
One. Only one.
One.
One true one.
One true one.
Yes.
And what would that be? What is the name of your faith?
Yeah, Bible. Word of God.
So you're...
It's not according... If it's not according... No. If it's not according to the Word of God, it's idolatrous religion.
Okay, so how would you identify yourself? You're a...
Christian. Christian.
So you're not beholden to any church? Any...
Yes.
Which is...
Yes, I'm a member of a church. A Bible-believing church.
And that church would be a church of England? A Catholic,
Scotland.
Scotland?
Not Catholic.
Okay.
Protestant.
Okay, Protestant. So you would identify yourself as a Protestant?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
So how many other brands of Christianity are there?
Only one. Only one.
So Protestant Christian?
Only one, yeah.
The only true faith.
Yeah, yes. Believe the Bible. Please, the Bible. Anything contrary to the Bible is idolatrous religion, sir.
Well, anyway.
Yep. Yeah, you too. You. How many stay, yeah? Where was I? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, without the witness. You know, see, I mean, it's a point in question, friends, you know, that, you know, people have got all kinds of arguments, you know, against, you know, what the Bible reveals. And of course, that's a revelation in itself, you know. It's a revelation of their own heart, you see. They're not in a place where they're willing to submit to, yield themselves to what God has spoken, you know? I mean, that was it right from the very beginning, you know? The serpent, the old dragon, you know, the devil, you know, Satan, he comes to the woman, you know, Eve, and who tempted her husband in turn, you know? Hath God really said that? That's what the man's saying to me, like, you know? I'm saying the Bible says this, the Bible says that, you know. Hath God spoken? Has he really spoken? Is that really what he said? Is that really what he meant? Yes, yes. But as long as you have an argument with the Bible, as long as you cannot accept God's word, there is no grace, there is no light according to this testimony. If they speak, if they believe not according to this testimony of God, it's because there's no light in them, only darkness, only sin, only blindness. For the very blind, our confession goes on to say, for the very blind are able to perceive, are able to understand that the things foretold in the Bible are fulfilling, being fulfilled, that is. Think of all that all of us spoken concerning the Son of God in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ. Not all of it, still yet some to be fulfilled, but what, 70-80% of it has been fulfilled? Predicted long, long ago, before Jesus Christ was born into this world. One of the major prophets gives testimony to him, his coming, his death on the cross, long, hundreds, thousands of years before the Son of God was born into the world. And just as the prophet declared, just as the Word of God foretold, so it all came to pass. He was taken by the wicked hands, cruel hands of men, and nailed to that cross. But still, even now, as I'm talking to you, the Word of God is being fulfilled in your generation in these last days. Sin is abounding. Sin is multiplying. Sin is growing. It's an organic reality in the midst of you. And just as God foretells in His Word, towards the end, it will become utterly and absolutely lawless. And you're well, I tell you, on that pathway of utter lawlessness, even in your own society today. So you see, even the very blind can perceive that the things foretold in the Bible, the coming again of the Son of Man, with his holy angels in flaming fire, with vengeance, taking vengeance upon all them that know not God and obey not the gospel. It's all being fulfilled. It all will be fulfilled. Not one jot or tittle shall be left unfulfilled at the day when you stand before God in that day, in that awful day, when men and women will be judged in righteousness by the Son of God, by the Son of Righteousness, by the one who today would perhaps be your Savior, who demands of you, that you should believe, who demands of you that you should repent of your sin, turn from your wicked ways, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, in order that you might be saved, might be delivered from the trauma of that day when men stand before God in judgment, that you might not be judged, might not be condemned. For God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Men and women, sinners like you might be saved. Oh, the testimony of God's Word, the pure Word of God, purer than silver, refined in a furnace 7 times. Oh, the precious, precious Word of God. It's this and this alone that regulates our faith, that is the foundation of our faith, and that is the confirmation of the faith of anyone who truly believes in the Son of God in Jesus Christ. And without it, I tell you, you cannot be saved. How can you know what to believe? Just pluck it out of the air? Just listen to the next religious person who comes along? How will you know what to believe in order that you might be saved? Unless the preacher comes and tells you, and unless the preacher is sent to tell you. Well, we come, friends, on the authority of God's Word, the highest authority that there is in all the world, in all the universe. Not the state, not the United Nations, not the united nonsense of Europe, but friends, the Word of God. The true living God has spoken fully and finally, and declares all men to be sinners, wretched, blind, naked, and under His holy wrath because of their sin, their rebellion, apostasy from God, and presents you with one escape route and one only. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who lived and died and rose again from the dead, ascended back to heaven, enthroned on high, and rules throughout the world. Jesus, the only Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You don't come through the name of Muhammad. You don't come through the Pope of Rome. You don't come through confused Confucius. You don't even come through your own confused minds. You come through Jesus Christ, the only mediator between man and God. There is no other who died for sinners. No other who rose, who defeated the grave, conquered death. That man who believe and trust in Him according to the divine demand, according to the commandment of God, who repent and believe the gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's assurance and promises shall be saved. So the Word of God, friends, the regulation, the foundation, and the confirmation of the Christian's faith. There is no other. The authoritative Word of God, divine authority, to be believed. Your Maker has spoken. The God who made you, who gave you life and being, who holds your very next breath in His hand, the one who will judge you in righteousness, commands you, demands of you in His Word that you turn from your wicked ways, forsake your unrighteous thinking, and turn to Him through His Son Jesus Christ, in order that you might be saved from the law of sin and death, and from the threat, the very, very real threat of eternal damnation. I bid you today on the authority of God's written word, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish in your sin. A lost eternity, that is. Lest you turn, you shall indeed burn. Oh, repent today. Turn from your wicked ways. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. You'd like the copy of God's Word? Take home with you, read for yourself, meditate, think on these things. See what God indeed has indeed spoken, in order that you might be relieved of your sin, in order that you might be set free from the threat of God's judgment, His righteous justice. Word of God presented and offered to you this afternoon quite freely. You would like one, you come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy, mercy